This is where we started last week. If a year length is 365 and a quarter days, then the tkufot, meaning the four seasons, will shift in terms of the day of the week by 7.5 hours per season, divided equally. And therefore, whatever the starting point of the seasons are, in this case, the seasons start from the beginning of Tkufat Nisan, which is when the world was created, of course, on the fourth day of creation. And so from that point forward, we calculate the seasons, Nisan, three months later, Tammuz, then Tishrei, then Tevet, and then again Nisan, moving by day of the week an hour, 7.5 hours each season. Over the course of the year, moving a day and a quarter. And then that accumulating over the course of 28 years. And after 28 years, that day and a quarter shift each year will return to zero. Meaning we will return to our starting point. And it is precisely that 28 years which brings us to the cycle of Machzor HaGadol, or the 28-year cycle of Birkas HaChama. Namely, it is the moment when the sun in its lunar circuit, 365 and a quarter days long, will return to the precise position at the moment of creation, namely, where the Tkufa of Nisan, the beginning of the spring month, will be on Wednesday at the beginning of the day, fourth day, 0 hour. That's how the world was created, with the sun and the moon, or the sun specifically, at 4 days, 0 hour. When each year that season shifts by day of the week, by a day and 6 hours, over the course of a day and a quarter, over the course of 28 years, it will return to a multiple of 7, meaning it will return to exactly its starting point at Wednesday at 6 p.m. That is Birkas, the source for Birkas HaChama. And it's based on the Gemara in Brachos, Tana Rabbanan, Hava'ech Chama b'tkufata, Vana b'gvurata, v'kochavim b'mesilotam, u'mazalot k'sidran, Omer Baruch Hashem Breshit. When it sees the sun at its turning point, meaning its starting point, the moon and its power, the planets and the orbits, the signs of the zodiac and their orderly progress, would say the blessing, Baruch Oseh Breshit, or Oseh Maseh Breshit, he who has brought the work of creation. How often does this happen? Kol 28 shnin v'hadam machzor v'naflat kufat nisan b'shabtai ba'urta d'tlat nage arba. This happens every 28 years when the cycle begins again and the Nisan, or spring equinox, falls in Saturn, which I'm going to skip for in the moment, on the evening of Tuesday going into Wednesday, and that's how it's formulated in the Shulchan Aruch. That's the primary source for Birkas HaChama. All other issues relate to this Gemara. Now, there are many questions in this Gemara. Questions of interpretation, questions of whether or not the Gemara really means what we understand it to mean, which is that every 28 years there's a bracha to be recited. There are other interpretations of this Gemara. And perhaps the most significant question is, are all of these astronomical phenomenon interdependent? In order to recite this bracha, must I see all of these things, or only each one separately? That, too, is a discussion in the halacha. And the conclusion is that each one is separate, and we make this bracha, although that is not a universally accepted conclusion. We will leave the rest of that discussion for another context where we discuss the halachic issues per se. Here I wanted to discuss more the calendrical issues. This led our way to our chart of when Birkas HaChama falls, and I've given you the dates in the 20th to 23rd centuries. Every 28 years, it's approximately three or four times a century. And you'll, of course, note that it's always the same English date. That's not by design. That's not by accident. That is by design. Of course, it's going to be the same English date. It is a purely solar calculation. That is not to mean that Chazal sat and figured out that Birkas HaChama is going to fall on April 8th. That is to mean that they're working off a solar date. So there's no lunar involvement whatsoever whatever date it fell 1 year is going to be the same date it's going to fall 28 years later. Give or take. And the reason I say give or take is because, of course, you notice in the 22nd century it moves to April 9th, 23rd century it moves to April 10th. It does seem to shift a day by per century, with the exception of the 21st century. We will explore that issue at the end of today's lecture when we talk about the Gregorian calendar. This I mentioned last week as well. I'm going to skip it for now. Basically, it's the whole question of whether Birkas HaChama on Erev Pesach has any religious significance. It is the subject of a great discussion. You may see some literature on it in the papers. There was a theory going around for a while that Erev Pesach on that Birkas HaChama on Erev Pesach happens, you know, three times in history. It is simply not factual. We know the dates of Birkas HaChama, and of course they, well, let's go to this chart first. They do not coincide with the events in history per se, and they happen fairly, not necessarily frequently, but statistically in an insignificant way. From in the 20th century, the last time it occurred on Erev Pesach was in 1925, which was, when you think about it, every 28-year cycle, essentially three cycles ago. This is where we left off. There is a discussion in the Gemara, a very famous discussion in the Gemara, when the world was created. And when the world was created means, what month was the world created? Was the world created in the month of Tishrei, or was the world created in the month of Nisan? It's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. It's a lengthy sugya in Rosh Hashanah. Those of you who were in my Talmud class on Monday nights, or now Tuesday nights, we went through that sugya at length. It's a lot and a half, with all the different sources and text proofs to it. But for our purposes, it boils down to a machloket Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Eliezer said the world was created in Tishrei, b'Tishrei Nivra Olam. Rabbi Yehoshua said the world was created in Nisan, b'Nisan Nivra HaOlam. It's a philosophical discussion. It's textual discussion. There's all kinds of interesting ramifications. One of the interesting ramifications is that Gemara is a question of how we conclude or how we paskin in this discussion. What would be our conclusion? So, from what we know up until you came to this class or last week's class, if I were to ask the question, how do we rule in this regard? Was the world created in Tishrei? Is Tishrei the beginning of the world, or was the world created in Nisan? And you would probably have told me that, in your opinion, that we paskin that the world was created in Tishrei. Why would you say that? Because Rosh Hashanah is in Tishrei. And on Rosh Hashanah, we say that Rosh Hashanah is the birthday of the world, Hayom Harat Olam. We say in the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, Zeh Hayom Tchilat Ma'asecha. And in fact, that is precisely what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, we who say, Zeh Hayom Tchilat Ma'asecha, in our Shmona Esrei, we have the phrase on Rosh Hashanah, this day is the beginning of your works. Who do we paskin by, says the Gemara? We paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, who says B'tishrei Nivra Olam, because we say Zeh Hayom Tchilat Ma'asecha. That's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Except that it's not that simple, because I showed you before that in order to calculate Birkas HaChama, we had to assume that the world started. We'll go back to that slide. Oh, it's a lot of slides ago. That the world started at the moment of creation, namely Wednesday at, when is Birkas HaChama, what month is Birkas HaChama in? Nisan. Month Birkas HaChama is in Nisan. The assumption is that that's the point in creation. Every 28 years, the world returns to its parting point of creation, and that is in the month of Nisan. So on the one hand, we are saying that we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, that the world was created in Tishrei, And on the other hand, we are saying that the starting point of creation for the purpose of Birkas HaChama was the month of Nisan and Tkufat Nisan. So we have, in a certain sense, a contradiction. With regards to the Rosh Hashanah, with regards to our calculation of the age of the world, 5769 from creation, turns over at Rosh Hashanah. So if we say 5769 from creation, and we turn that over at Rosh Hashanah, we're assuming the world was created in Tishrei. However, with regards to the calculation of Birkas HaChama, and as I will show you soon with regards to the calculation of Tal u'Matar as well, anything related to the Tkufot, we paskin like Nisan, like Rabbi Yehoshua. It's almost as if to say our solar calendar starts from Rabbi Nisan and our lunar calendar starts from Tishrei. But of course that would make no sense at all, because it's one calendar. So this is a built-in contradiction. I call it the irony of the calendar, but it really is a contradiction. So how do we resolve this contradiction? What is our... how do we paskin? Was the world created in Tishrei, or was it created in Nisan? And there are various, there are many answers to this question. I'm going to share with you one, and it's the answer given by Tosfot in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara has the following conclusion. The Gemara itself raises this issue, although not explicitly, and says, "B'chachmei Yisrael monin l'mabul k'rabbi Eliezer u'letkufa k'rabbi Yeshua." The sages of Israel, they calculate from the great flood, which is another way of saying when we number the years, because they didn't count years from creation; they counted years from the mabul. But when we number the years, we follow Rabbi Yehoshua, sorry, Rabbi Eliezer, namely from Tishrei. Whereas when we calculate the tkufot, or the seasons, we calculate from Rabbi Yeshua or Nisan. Tosfot there on the spot says, how can that be? And Tosfot explains the following. This is the language of Tosfot. I'll translate it as we go. Afal gav disvirlu ki Rabbi Yeshua debenisan yivra ha'olam. Even though, in fact, we rule like Rabbi Yeshua, that the world was created physically in the month of Nisan. And that's why Birkas HaChama is calculated from Nisan. That's why Tal u'Matar is calculated from Nisan. Astronomically, physically, the world was created in Nisan, we paskin. Nonetheless, and the proof is midamonin l'tkufa k'Rabbi Yeshua, because we calculate all of those things like Rabbi Yeshua, as I just said. Nonetheless, we calculate the age of the world, the years from the Mabul, the years from creation, from Tishrei. Why? Mishum de Tishrei Rosh Hashanah Rosh L'shanim U'L'shmitinu L'yavlot. Because the first Mishnah Masechet Rosh Hashanah says that the cycle of turnover for the agricultural laws of Shemitah begins in Tishrei. Now, of course, it makes sense for the agricultural laws of Shemitah to begin in Tishrei. Why? Why does it make sense for the agricultural laws of Shemitah? Why does the Shemitah year begin in Tishrei? Because that's the beginning of the agricultural cycle. The agricultural cycle begins with the planting and the rain and ends with the harvest. So the year, as it's determined by the seasons, for the purpose of planting, goes from Tishrei to Tishrei. Therefore, Shemitah certainly makes sense to go from Shemitah to Shemitah. If I have two starting points of the year, from an arbitrary point of view, I can start from Tishrei, start from Nisan, irrespective of the astronomy of it and the history of it. But from an agricultural point of view, I can start at Tishrei, I can start in Nisan. The laws of Shemitah start in Tishrei. But because the laws of Tishrei start in, the laws of Shemitah start in Tishrei, Chazal set the calendar up in such a way that anything related to the almost the arbitrary nature of the calendar, namely the months and the years and what year it is. It's somewhat arbitrary to determine that this year is 5769. It's an arbitrary convention. I could say that this year is 5769. I could say that this year is, 3,500 from Abraham and 3,000 from Mount Sinai and 4,000 from Abraham and 2,000 from the exile. I can determine the age of the year arbitrarily. And therefore, anything that Chazal set in place according to an arbitrary determination works off the beginning of the year from Shemitah, which is Rosh Hashanah, which is Tishrei. Whereas that which is dependent upon an actual physical astronomical event, namely Talu Matar and Birkas Achama, which is based on the physical, when was the world created physically, that would start from Nisan or Rabbi Yeshua. He would, and he does. And in that Tosfot, he asks the question, well, then how can you say Hayom Harat Olam? What is Hayom Harat Olam? And he gives all kinds of answers for Hayom Harat Olam. He passes like Rabbi Yeshua. And yet he says Hayom Harat Olam in Rosh Hashanah. He says so explicitly. That's the whole, if you look at that Tosfot, he says so. No, same Tosfot. He says, we passing like Rabbi Yeshua. We count the years like Rabbi Eliezer because it's arbitrary. What about Hayom Harat Olam? He has an answer for Hayom Harat Olam too. Has a distinction between the physical creation of the world and the hypothetical or thought process by which the world maybe would have been created or thought of creating, all kinds of issues. I don't want to get into that piece of it because it's a little bit too esoteric, but he does raise that question. Yeah?
I don't remember being arbitrary in the first question when you actually figured out the 19-year cycle by dividing that number.
Oh, we're going to come back to a correction to the 19-year cycle in a few minutes. The 19-year cycle is based on a correlation between the two, and it was based on a hypothetical starting point. The hypothetical starting point was assuming that Molad Tishrei equaled Tkufat Tishrei. And then we calculated. For the purpose of the calculation, that is correct. But the actual 19-year cycle, if you remember, we had a question unresolved, which was about year 15, when the Tkufa fell at about 15 hours or so. I'll show you what the question was in a moment. But we are going to revise that calculation momentarily based on this discussion.
Just mention, when you talk about the model, you talk about the Noah, right?
Yeah.
So that's when it started to be counted in Tishrei?
No. Chazal, we say this year is 5769 because we count to creation. Chazal didn't count to creation. They had no such concept. The concept of dating years to creation starts in the Gaonic period post-Talmud. They had all kinds of other counting systems, counting to the year of the kings, counting to the year of Yetziat Mitzrayim. One of them was to count to the years of the Mabul. Just another arbitrary dating system. Okay? I know it's not a completely satisfactory answer. We will discuss it in greater length, perhaps, and hopefully on Shabbos HaGadol. We'll spend a little bit more time on this philosophical debate. But that is, in fact, the conclusion. The world was created in Nisan, the starting point for astronomical calculations. The calendar, as fixed, begins in Tishrei, which follows the agricultural cycle or the Shemitah Yovel process. That's Birkas Achama for the most part. There's a lot of other issues, halachic issues, but in terms of the calendar issues, that's the story behind Birkas Achama. Questions? All right. Then let's talk about Talu Matar, which is the next big issue. Of course, you know the mystery of Talu Matar. When do we start to say Tein Talu Matar Livracha in the Shmoneh Esrei? December 5th. Or December 6th. But definitely not December 4th. You're a century behind. Myriv into December 5th. Well, that's just because of where the art school wrote it. Says the Mishnah. Here's the source. The Mishnah says, Bishlosha b'mar cheshvan sholin takshamim, according to the first opinion, we begin to request for the request for rain, tein talu matali bracha, from the third of cheshvan. Rama Gamliel omer b'shiva abo. Rama Gamliel says, no, we wait until the seventh of cheshvan. Why the 7th of Cheshvan? Chamisha soyim achar hachag, kedei sheyagi acharon sheb'Yisrael le'nahar prat. We wait 2 weeks after the conclusion of Sukkot, before beginning the prayer for rain, so that we give time for all of the people who came for Aliyah LaRegel to Yerushalayim to return home before getting deluged in the rain. We don't want them to get flooded on the way home, because of course we understand, and the moment we start to say Tein Talu Matali Bracha, God will heed our prayers and the rains will start to fall in great quantities. And so we don't want to catch the Ole Regel in the rain. It's one of the most fascinating halachot, because it's built around an assumption of the absolute certainty that our prayers are going to be answered in the affirmative. Which is really quite remarkable. But nonetheless, we want to have, and we have compassion on those who are coming to Yerushalayim, so we wait 2 weeks before we start to pray for rain. That's the Mishnah. Of course, the Mishnah is written in Eretz Yisrael, and the Mishnah goes back to the time when we had Aliyah LaRegel. The Gemara, which is written in Bavel, states that in the community in Bavel, they didn't start the prayer for rain at that time. They started the rain later. Why? So the Gemara says about Bavel that it needed the rain later in the season, or that it needed less rain. So the beginning request for rain in the community in Bavel had to do with the fact that in that locale, in that physical place, the need for rain followed a different time frame, a different sequence than the need for rain in Eretz Yisrael. So whereas in Eretz Yisrael they would pray for rain from the 7th of Cheshvan, in Bavel they waited. And the Gemara says, Tanya Chananya Omer, Ubagola ad shishim batkufa. In the diaspora, namely in Bavel, they would wait until for beginning to pray for rain until 60 days after the Tkufa. And the Tkufa in question here is the same Tkufa of Rosh Hashanah, namely the Tkufa of Tishrei. So essentially they worked off a purely purely astronomical phenomenon, the same phenomenon that we've been discussing up until now, Tkufat Tishrei. We've been discussing Tkufat Nisan, now we talk about Tkufat Tishrei. Tkufat Tishrei has a fixed solar date. 60 days after Tkufat Tishrei was deemed the time for the need for prayer for rain in Bavel. Yes?
In the Southern Hemisphere.
Oh, absolutely.
Correct.
In every community, theoretically, following the position that if Bavel was, if the time for the prayer for rain in Bavel was set in accordance with the needs of Bavel, then the theory goes that we should change the time for the prayer for rain in every community according to the local seasonal agricultural needs. It's a major, major dispute in the halacha as to whether or not we can or should do that. In fact, the very first tshuva ever sent from the New World. Anybody know what the first community in the New World was? Jewish community in the New World was? No, that's assuming that it was in America. South America, correct. In Brazil. In Brazil, the very first shaila in Southern Hemisphere, the very first shaila ever sent from the New World to Europe in the 16th century, or 17th century, no, 16th century, was should we change the date for Talamata according to our needs here in the Southern Hemisphere? There's a very famous, powerful story of the Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher, in his travels from through Provence and down to from Germany through Provence and down into Spain. When he got to, he has a long tshuva about his whole journey, but one of his issues was that this issue of Talamata in local communities, they needed rain in different time frames. Should they pray for rain differently or at different time periods? He was of the opinion that you should change the time of Talamata and determine the time for Talamata based on the seasonal local needs. He was overridden by his Gaboim. who refused to let him change the minhag of the shul, even though he was not only the rav of the shul, but the rav of the entire community. And the gabayim essentially said no. And for a number of years, he had his own little minion in order to daven according to what he believed to be the minhag. And then that too was stopped. And he agreed to follow in accordance with the minhag of the local community. And that was the last effort by any posek to try to change this minhag. The Rush. The last effort by any posek to try to change this minhag. The theory is, if the Rush couldn't do it, we are not going to try. But you are correct. That would be the logical choice. There is a theory put forward, and I heard in the name of Soloveitchik. I heard a shiur many years ago by Rav Yosef Adler from Aaron Adler from Chashmonaim, who have a very interesting theory that the reason why we, actually, let me just show you the next slide. This is the Psak Halacha on the Shulchan Aruch. The Psak Halacha on the Shulchan Aruch is, with regards to all communities outside of Eretz Yisrael, Matchilin lishol matar b'chutz la'aretz b'tfilat arvit shel yom shishim achar tkufat tishrei. We begin to ask for talu matar in all of the diaspora, according to Meir of the 60th of day, 60 days after tkufat tishrei, and in Eretz Yisrael we start on the 7th of Cheshvan. That should be 7th of Cheshvan, the typo. Seven o Cheshvan. The word from in the name of the Rav was that the reason why it was set as 60 days after Tkufat Tishrei was not necessarily only because of Bavo, but also because of Eretz Yisrael. Because ultimately our prayers are always because for the needs of Eretz Yisrael, and our prayer for rain is also for Eretz Yisrael. We should start at Zion Cheshvan. So the word was in the name of the Rav that essentially what we've done is we've held all the prayers of Chutz La'aretz, all the prayers of the diaspora for rain, we've held them off until midway in the season. When the need for rain becomes so much greater and so much more acute, if we haven't had rain by then, we're in serious trouble, then we add to all the prayers that are taking place in Eretz Yisrael the entirety of the prayers of the diaspora. It's like the ace up the sleeve, the trump card that we hold until the very last moment before playing. So we start the prayers in stages. Stage one, Zion Cheshvan in Eretz Yisrael. Stage two, 60 days after Tkufat Tishrei, we throw in the ace up the sleeve, the prayers of the rest of the diaspora community, in order to assist the Jews of Eretz Yisrael and strengthen the prayers for rain. That was the theory in the void in the name of the Rav. Yeah, 1 second, yes, fine. Stages, correct. The Rav based on that Mishnah. Right. So the Rav based himself on that Mishnah. It was the last in that sequence the end. Beginning of the sequence starts at Hanukkah. Anyway, we can talk about it. I'll have to look it up. 60 days after Tkufat Tishrei is before. Well, you're right. It's before Hanukkah, usually. All right. Maybe. How do we calculate Tkufat Tishrei with only lunar months? In other words, that's all fine and dandy. Now let's figure out a date. When do we start saying Talu Matar? Now, I asked before, when do we start saying Talu Matar? And you told me? December 5th, 6th, 4th, whenever it is. But of course, Chazal didn't have a December with which to work. They didn't have such a thing as a civil calendar. There's no such thing as a civil calendar in the halachic calendar. The question I get asked more often than perhaps anything else: how can we start saying Talu Matar on December 5th? December 5th is not a Jewish date. And the answer is, you're right. The real answer is, we start saying Talu Matar 60 days after Tkufat Tishrei. Now go calculate Tkufat Tishrei. Now it'll come to the same. It has to come to the same date because it has to come to a particular fixed moment in the solar calendar. But the calculation has to be based, the process, the thought process has to be based on extrapolating a solar event on the basis of a lunar calendar. So from a halachic point of view, if you want to know how the halacha goes through this formulation, you probably don't. But in case you do, I'm going to show you how the halacha determines the date of 60 days after Tkufa Tishrei. At the end of the day, it's going to come to an English date. So it'll come to the same English date every year. But, so we understand the process, it didn't start with an English date, it starts with a Hebrew date. How do we calculate the date of a Tkufa? Meaning, and remember, Tkufa is a purely solar event, solar calendar event. How do we calculate the Hebrew date of a Tkufa of any year? Right, and we do so by calculating the Tkufa all the way back to creation. Remember that our calendar has a fixed correlation between the solar year and the lunar year that starts with creation. Our fixed moment is creation. So what we really need to know is figure out how many Tkufot have passed since creation. Calculate the correlation between the Tkufa and the Molad in any given year. Multiply that by the number of years that have passed from creation, and you'll get the Hebrew date of the Tkufa in that year. It's a simple calculation. Just the numbers are astronomical. Oh, that was cute. Well, no pun intended. Yes. Right, you could do that in theory, except that we don't. Yeah, but we don't, because we work off a calendar. Now, of course, to do that, we need a starting point. And our starting point is Tkufat Nisan in year zero, which is Wednesday, 6 p.m., or Tuesday night, 6 p.m., fourth day, 0 hour. We know Molad Tishrei and Molad Tishrei of Tohu. Those are fixed information. We calculated them back when we did our calendar. We're going to throw us back to all the calendar calculations with which we started. We know that Molad Tishrei took place in the 14th hour of the 6th day. That's how we got Molad Tishrei of Shnat Tohu. If you remember Molad Tohu? We got to Molad Tohu Barad, 2 days, 5 hours, 204 parts, by working from Molad Tishrei a year backwards. And that we got from the whole notion of Adam HaRishon and how he was created in the second, what he did in each hour of the day of creation. So our fixed points are as follows. We know the date of Molad Tishrei in year one, and Molad Tishrei of year zero. And we know the time of Tkufat Nisan of year zero. So far, are you with me? Now, we need to calculate the difference between the Tkufa and the Molad of year zero. So that we do as follows. First of all, this is a constant we saw before. This is the difference between the Molad and the Tkufa over the course of a year. It's essentially the length of the difference between a solar year and a lunar year. If we work off Tkufat Shmuel, assuming 365 and a quarter days for the length of the solar year, we have 12 lunar months, each one equal to 29 and a half days, 793 parts. The difference is 10 hours, 10 days, 21 hours, 204 parts. In 6 months, I'm going to need the six-month calculation, so I did that for you. Exactly half of this is 5 days, 10 hours, 642 parts. Those are fixed. Those are constants, just to help the math. Here are our fixed points of what we know. We know Tkufat Nisan of the year Tohu, namely Wednesday, 6 p.m. We know Tuesday night. Okay? It's considered the 0 hour of the fourth day, or Tuesday, 6 p.m. We know that Tkufat Tishrei of year one is equivalent to, let's do Molad Tishrei. Molad Tishrei of year one is equal to 14th hour of the sixth day. And we can also determine that Tkufa Tishrei of year one is 4 days, 15 hours. How did I get to that? Because 6 months later, each Tkufa shifts 7.5 hours. Remember, 365 and a quarter days divided by three. Each season is equal to 91 days, 7.5 hours, which is shifts exactly 7.5 hours. Over two seasons, I shift 15 hours. So Tkufat Tishrei in year one is Wednesday, 15 hours. Molad Tishrei of year one is 6 days, 14 hours. The difference, which is the time in which Tkufat Tishrei of year one occurred before Molad Tishrei of year one is 1 day, 23 hours. Clear? You don't have to do the math. The math is correct, as long as you understand the concept. Now, working off that number, if Tkufat Tishrei part of Molad Tishrei in year one is this number, 6 months earlier is the relationship between Tkufat Nisan and Molad Nisan of year zero, is 7 days, 9 hours, 642 parts. Which means that in year of creation, in actual fact, the year of creation, when the months were created in that month of Nisan, because we Paskin, the world was created in the month of Nisan. In that year, when the sun was created, the moon was created 7 days, 9 hours, six. In other words, the placement of the Tkufat Nisan and Molad Nisan was 7 days apart. They were created at the same time, but they were created, the sun was created in its beginning of its cycle, and the moon was placed in its position so that the Molad was already 7 days into the Molad. So that the Tkufa was 7 days before the Molad. And of course, if you go back even further, Tkufa Tishrei in relation to Molad Tishrei at the hypothetical year of year zero was 12 days earlier. That's the number that we want, 12 days, 20 hours, 204 parts, in which Tkufa Tishrei pre is earlier than Molad Tishrei in the year zero. Then, I did this out of sequence. Let me skip a slide. I'll come back to it. Now, let's take a fixed year, 5758. I just threw out a year, which is the first year of the 304th cycle. If I wanted to figure out when Tkufat Tishrei was in that year, I know that how many Tkufat Tishreis have there been since creation, using Tkufat Shmuel, of course. I know that every 19 years, remember my 19-year cycle? So every 19 years using Tkufat Shmuel, my 19-year cycle is too long. It's an hour and 485 parts too long. So that's just a simpler way to calculate it. I use that remainder times 303 completed cycles, 18 days, 7 hours, 75 parts. Meaning, Tkufat Tishrei in the year 5758 occurs 18 hours, 7 days, 75 parts later in relation to Molad Tishrei than it did in the year of creation. So now to that number, I have to add my offset from creation, or subtract. And I get to 5 days, 10 hours, 151 parts. So Tkufa Tishrei in absolute time in relationship to Molad Tishrei in 5758 is 5 days, 10 hours, 951 parts after Molad Tishrei. How do I find Molad Tishrei? How do I find Molad Tishrei? Excuse me? That would be the hard way to do it. What's the easy way to do it? Look up on the chart. All right, I have a chart of all the Molads. I gave you the chart. Take Molad Tishrei of any given year and add 5758 and add 5 days, 10 hours, 951 parts to it. And that's what we did here. Molad Tishrei in 5758 was 54129. Don't believe me? Look it up. Add to that the shift that we just calculated, and we get to day 3, 14 hours, or 15 hours, in fact. Meaning, conclusion. On Rosh, if Rosh 5758, Rosh Hashanah, the Molad was 5 days, 4 hours. Meaning, what day was Rosh Hashanah? Thursday. There's no Dechiyah. All right? There's no Dechiyah here because it's not Molad Zaken. It's not Gatrad or Betut Tokpat. It's not Adu. So Rosh Hashanah was there for Thursday. Rosh Hashanah was Thursday. 5 days later, 10 hours, 951 parts later, or day 3, 15 hours. Day 3 is Tuesday, the 6th of Tishrei. 5 days later, 6th of Tishrei, 15 hours. That's Tkufat Tishrei of that year. I have used only Jewish calendar dates. If you looked it up on a calendar, you would find that Tuesday, 6th of Tishrei, 15 hours, is equal to October 7th, 3 p.m. Any objections? This is not an optical illusion. Next. Assuming that Tekufa Tishrei 5758 is the 6th of Tishrei 3 p.m. or October 7th, 60 days later, or 59 days later, because you count that day as day number one, you get 24 days remaining in Tishrei, 29 in Cheshvan, 6th in Kislev, and you get to Talamata is equal to December 5th. No optical illusions here. There can't be any other date. It has to be the same civil date every year, but I've based it purely on the calculation of the 6th of Tishrei. Because I'm working off how many days the Tkufa is different from the Molad of Tishrei of that year. Now, if you filled in the chart, you would find that Tkufa Tishrei of year 1 is, after division by 0, in a 4-year process, 4-year cycle, is going to be October 7th, 3 p.m., October 7th, 9 p.m., October 7th, 3 p.m. In year 4, it'll be October 7th, 9 p.m., except on a year before a civil leap year. And the year before civil leap year, the dates will be off by a day. Why? In the year before civil leap year, the dates will be off by a day. Why? Because the civil leap year accumulates that quarter of a day and shifts the calendar every 4 years. But we are before February. That evening out of that extra quarter day will take place in February. We're still in October. And therefore, in a year before a civil leap year, it will be October 8th after February, meaning the leap year comes around, the next October it'll come back to October 7th. Similarly, Tekufa Tevet has a fixed time. Tekufa Nisan has a fixed time. When is the times of Tekufa Nisan? April 7th in the year 1, April 8th at year 2, April 8th in year 3, April 7th on year 4. Does that surprise anybody? That Tekufat Nisan is on April 8th? Does that surprise anybody? It shouldn't. When is Birkas HaChama? Every year. April 8th. Because Tekufas HaChama is the beginning of is Tekufas Nisan. Tekufas Tammuz, and of course, Talamata is December 5th on every year except the year before a civil leap year in which it is December 6th. Of course, we start at Ma'ariv of the night before. Clear? Now here's an interesting issue. Actually, let me go back to something which I skipped before. The mystery of year 16. If you remember, let's go back to this chart. This chart was Tekufat Nisan in relation to Molad Nisan in year 0, 7 days, 9 hours, 642 parts. If you remember, and Mickey, this goes back to your question. When we did the original calculation of the 19-year cycle, we said, let's start from a hypothetical year zero. Hypothetical year zero, in which Tekufat Nisan and Molad Nisan start at the same time. Every year, what is the Tekufa shift? And we calculated that when that Tekufa shift gets later than the 15th of the month, we need to make the year a leap year. Right? The problem was when calculating the Machzor Katan, we assumed a hypothetical year of Molad Nisan, when Molad Nisan and Tekufat Nisan started it together. And then we found that in year 16, Tekufat Nisan fell at 15 days, 14 hours, 175 parts. That year was not deemed a leap year. However, is 15 days, 14 hours, 175 parts the 15th of Nisan or the 16th of Nisan? Depends on when Rosh Chodesh was. Remember that Rosh Chodesh and the Molad don't always coincide with each other. So it's possible for them to be a couple of hours apart, and this 15 days, 14 hours could easily be the 16th of Nisan. In which case we are Pesach is too early. So why did we assume that this was automatically a non-leap year? That was a question we had left unresolved back at the beginning of the course. I don't even know if you remember the question. But nonetheless, that question was unresolved. We said we would resolve it later. And the resolution is that, in fact, in year zero, Tkufat Nisan did not start on Molad Nisan. Tkufat Nisan started 7 days earlier than Molad Nisan. So that, in fact, you need to take all those numbers in that chart, that remember that 19-year chart? And you have to move them up by 7 hours, 7 days, 9 hours, 642 parts. Now what you'll find is that the leap years are the same. Doesn't change any of the leap years, but it does resolve the problem of this calculation. All right. Which brings us to our last, we're running out of time, and I think people are getting to the end. Let's talk about the last issue, which is why Talu Matar changes dates. And I don't mean changes date between December 5th and December 6th, but why it changes dates every 100 years or so. Essentially, what we have is the following. Talu Matar, as Birkas HaChama, are based on the length of a solar year. That length of the solar year is equal to 365 and a quarter days. That is exactly the same length of the solar year, called Tkufat Shmuel, which was used in the calculation of the calendar, the civil calendar, known as the Julian calendar, set in place by Julius Caesar in the year 46 BCE because he had fallen in love with Cleopatra. Now, we know also that the actual astronomical value of the solar year is 11 minutes shorter than Tkufat Shmuel, which accounts for the loss of 1 day every 128 years. That's independent of the Jewish calendar for a moment. The civil calendar, the existing civil Roman calendar, it wasn't called the civil calendar, it was called the Roman calendar, was set in place by Julius Caesar, emperor of Rome, and was adopted by the Catholic Church. It therefore became a church issue. And the scientists in history who had first discovered that the length of the year was off and that this 11 minutes discrepancy was growing and that they were in fact losing time became a major church issue as early as the 11th or 12th centuries. They began to discover this problem, and it became a major discussion amongst the scientists within the church. It became an issue particularly in the 14th and 15th century, until finally, in the year 1582, after enormous pressure from the scientific community, Pope Gregory the 13th decided to change the calendar. And what he did was, he did two things. Number one, he changed the leap year rule. And I'll show you what the leap year rule now is. But the leap year rule was that every fourth year, you would accumulate this quarter of a day so that your years were 365 days in your calendar until every fourth year when your year was 366 days. They realized they were 11 minutes short, and 11 minutes over 128 years accumulates into a whole day. So they have to compensate for that. So what they did was two things. Number one, they changed the leap year rule. Number two, they needed to put themselves back on schedule. To put themselves back on schedule, they dropped 10 days in the calendar. They woke up on the morning of October 5th and discovered that it was October 15th. And anybody who had a birthday in between October 5th and October 15th had to go watch the Pirates of Penzance to figure out what to do. Now, why that date? Here's an interesting issue. Why that date? That date was picked arbitrarily so that the vernal equinox, which would fall on March 21st, that was purely arbitrary to determine the solar vernal equinox, because they could change the date. They didn't have to change the date. They could just start from there. Who cares what the dates were in the civil calendar? No, they wanted the equinox to fall on March 21st, which was the date of the equinox, the year it was in 325, which was the year of the Council of Nicaea, which determined the rules of Easter. And it was the determination of the rules of Easter so that Easter would never fall on Passover. The church's calendar was set up in such a way, the rules of Easter were set up in such a way so that it could avoid having Easter fall on Passover. The famous, excuse me, which happened in the year 325. And what came out of the Council of Nicaea was that they would rather be wrong with the calendar, wrong with the sun, than right with the Jews. Yes. But they would rather be wrong with the sun than right with the Jews. They did not want Easter to fall during Passover, so they changed all the rules of the calendar so that Easter never falls, or almost never falls, on Pesach. In order to do it, so when Pope Gregory set the calendar in place, he wanted the vernal equinox to go back to that date it was in 325 of the Common Era. So, of course, you understand that there's a lot of Jewish-Christian relations built into the Gregorian calendar as it is now known. The other thing he did was change the leap year rule. The leap year rule was every fourth year was a leap year. Now it is, and this drives computer programmers nuts, now it is any year divisible by four, right? Of course, every fourth year, but not divisible by 100. In other words, it has to be every fourth year except the centuries. They skip a leap year every century in order to accumulate that, compensate for that day every 128 years. But every 100 years is not 128 years, so they added a fourth rule, a 400 rule. So if the century is divisible by 400, it is a leap year. If the century is not divisible by 400, it's not a leap year. So the year 1900 was not a leap year, but the year 2000 was. No, because the calculation was still off, and the Gregorian calendar is still somewhat off from the astronomical precision, but the difference is very, very small. It's a
133 would be the exact, so it's off by 8 days every.
No. This is off. It loses a day in thousands of years. I mean, it's the number is astronomical. It's very close. Excuse me? The atomic clock. Yeah, the atomic clock does, but in terms of the Gregorian calendar, it's fixed. Now, that is why, and I don't know if you've ever followed this in any of the halachic literature, but that is why, of course, there's a conclusion to all of this, which is that after the turn of each century in the civil calendar, except those divisible by 400, the date of Talumata shifts forward by a day. See, the Jewish calendar, the Talumata date, works off the leap year rule of the old Julian calendar. So every time the Gregorian calendar skips a leap year, our date for Talumata moves forward a day. Every time the Gregorian calendar skips a leap year, when does the Gregorian calendar skip a leap year? In the new Gregorian calendar, the Julian calendar didn't. The new Gregorian calendar, when does it skip a leap year? Every century except the 400s. So every century except the 400s, the Gregorian calendar will skip a leap year. When it does that, our calculation of Talumata will not skip the leap year. Our English date moves ahead. Because remember, we're calculating off a tkufa based on tkufa Shmuel back to creation. We're not working off a civil date. We're working off a Hebrew date. We just, for our convenience, connected it, paralleled it to a English date. But if the English calendar moves, so that English date will move. So every century, our date for Talumata, as printed in the Sidurim, will change. And that's why if you look in the old Chumashim or the old Sidurim or Poskim from the 19th century, Look in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch has the date for Talmud Matar as December 4th. It says so, December, the 4th of December, Dalit Ayin, Tzadik, Ayin, Mem, etc. Because in the 1900s, sorry, in the 19th century, 1800s, in the 1800s, Talmud Matar was on December 4th, not December 5th. At the year 1900, the Gregorian calendar skipped the leap year. When it did that, our date of Talmud Matar jumped from December 4th to December 5th. 5th or 6th, 4th or 5th. Now, what happened in the year 2000?
Nothing.
Nothing, because the year 2000 was a leap year. According to the new rules, it was a 400 year. So nothing happened. But in the year 2100, our Talmud Matar date is going to jump to December 6th, and a year before leap year, December 7th. So in the year 2100, all the articles Siddurim are going to have to be reprinted.
With right commentary.
Excuse me? That's it.
Well, yeah, the 1700s, it was December 2nd.
Right.
December 3rd.
Okay. All the way back to the year 1582. Now, what date was it in the 1400s? Right. That's right. Before the change, the date before they dropped 10 years from the calendar, in the English date it was 10 days earlier. So right now it's December 5th. Four centuries ago it was about December 1st or so, give or take. And then 10 years before that would have been November 20th, give or take. Okay. And with this, we come to my favorite slide. The Rambam, at the end of all of Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, all of this is but a couple of paragraphs. This entire six-week course has been but a couple of paragraphs in the 11 chapters of the Rambam's Laws of Kiddush HaChodesh. I want to say that again. All of this has been a few paragraphs in the 11 chapters of Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh. There's much more there that the Rambam discusses and calculates, and everything, of course, is not in numbers, but in simanim. So when the Rambam talks about numbers, he talks about dalet, chet, tet, tet, ayin, vav, and you, of course, have to go and figure out what he's talking about. But in the last halacha, the Rambam writes the following. Do not take these matters lightly. Al yudra drachim elu kalim be'enecha. Just because we don't need them today. Of course, this whole course is purely hypothetical. There's very little practical in this discussion. For these are deep and sophisticated matters, the secret of the intercalation, which our great sages knew and handed over only to the wisest. But the mathematical calculations that we use today in the absence of a Beit Din to establish the new moon by sighting, in other words, in the absence of a Beit Din to establish the new moon by sighting, we do everything by mathematical calculations. Those mathematical calculations even school children can understand, but with 3 or 4 hours of study. 3 or 4 days of study, sorry. 3 or 4 days of study. She'anu mechashvim, afilo tinokot shel Beit Rabban magi'in ad sofan b'shlosha v'arba'a yamim. So, of course, for the Rambam, the concept of math, these are concepts which can easily be understood by first, second graders if you give them 3 or 4 days. I'm still waiting to meet the modern first or second grader that would be able to understand this. But maybe the Rambam's kids would be able to understand it in 3 or 4 days of study. I just find this remarkable. You know, the Rambam's conclusion at the end of Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, he says, the math here is so easy, a school child could understand it. Which brings me to the conclusion of our discussion. Hashemayim misafrim kvodel umasei adav magid harakia. The heavens declare the work of God, the firmament proclaims his handiwork. We have only begun to explore just the mathematical calculations of the calendar, solar and lunar. Certainly there is much more to discuss than what we have covered. I hope I've tried to make this as understandable as I can to the level that I understand it. I do not purport or pretend to understand it all, but to the extent that I have been able to understand some of it, I have tried to share that with you. Any questions? Yes? No. The rule is, well, yes, in the sense that initially the logic was that they both should start at the same time. They both start at the beginning of the rain season. Mashivaruach, however, is not a request for rain. It's an acknowledgement that rain is one of the things that God does. In the bracha of the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei, we have a list of the Chazdei Hashem, the things that God does in His kindness. Mechalkel chayim b'chesed, He who gives, so sustains the life with kindness and compassion. Amongst the things that He does is Mashiva Ruach u'morid ha-geshem, He makes the wind blow and the rains fall. It's not a request for rain, it's a description of God who gives rain. The Gemara describes it as the difference between She'ilat Matar, the prayer, the request for rain, and the the formulation of the Mishnah. What? I forgot the expression of the Mishnah, but the notion of the prayer, the acknowledgement of God as one, Shevach, the praise of God as God who gives rain. So the theory was that when you say Mashivuach at the beginning of the rain season, you're not asking for rain yet. So the Olei Regel who are walking home are safe. Because all you've done is acknowledge that this is part of the rain season, but you have not yet begun your request for rain. So the time frame of Mashiv Ruach was set to be different than Talamata. They delayed the start of Talamata, which was the request, for specific needs, as we described earlier. Mashiv Ruach, because it wasn't a request, they start immediately with the beginning of the rain season, which is, of course, the holiday of Sukkot.
So why do we end it on a lunar day? There's nothing to solve
this. Because we end it on Pesach. We end it at the end of the season. The same way we started on Sukkot. In theory, we started on Sukkot.
No, I'm talking about saying Talamata.
Again, Talamata halachically really starts in Zayin Cheshvan. In Eretz Yisrael. It starts in a lunar date. It starts on Sukkot. Can't start on Sukkot because we need to give the Olei Regel time to get home. So we start 2 weeks later. It starts on a lunar date. It was only Bavel. For reasons either specific to Bavel or specific, or as I explained, the connection to Eretz Yisrael, that started later. But its core halacha is formulated for Eretz Yisrael. It starts not in Eretz Yisrael.
No, I know, but
so it starts in it starts even in Chutz Laaretz. It was an arbitrary date. It was 60 days after the Tkufa, but it ends together with the end of the of Mashiv Ruach, which is the end of the season of the winter. Goes from Sukkot to Pesach. Yeah? Absolutely. In theory, it'll get a day later every 100 years, but right? Yeah, eventually it will, but it'll be a long time before we get there. I just want to show you that I showed you the dates for Birkas Hachama. In the 4 centuries that we're dealing with, in the 20th century, it's April 8th. In the 21st century, it's still April 8th because we didn't switch at the year 2000. In the 22nd century, it'll shift to April 9th. In the 23rd century, it'll shift to April 10th. There's a greater anomaly. There's a greater problem. No, they'll shift accordingly. Well, eventually, thousands and thousands of years from now. But there's an interesting issue. Birkas HaChama falls even now. Birkas HaChama can fall after Pesach. Take a look at the Hebrew dates. 23rd of Nisan, April 8th, 1953, is after Pesach. Next one, 2037, 23rd of Nisan, after Pesach. Now, if Birkas HaChama is defined as the beginning of Tkufat Nisan, how can it fall after Pesach in a non-leap year? Or in any year? Here's a mystery for you. How can Tkufat Nisan fall after Pesach? What's the answer? But the Dechiyot always bring it back. The Dechiyot always bring it back, and the Dechiyot will never move it a week apart. At most a day, but it will never move it a week apart.
I made a calculation on the present month of Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
It turns out that over 19 years, the average number of days per year is 365.33. And so, there's something there that.
Right. But it will never jump the calendar, move it a week off its proper date, because the Tchiyot are only a day or two apart, and then they bring it back. But more importantly, it doesn't upset the 19-year cycle because of the question that I showed you earlier. There's a 7-day gap. Our 19-year cycle worked off the assumption that Tkufat Nisan and Molad Nisan start at the same time. In fact, the way the calendar is set up, Molad Nisan is 7 days later. So there's a cushion of 7 days in that 19-year cycle. They're all they all are parallel to each other. So how do we get to this 23rd of Nisan? Tkufat Nisan on the 23rd of Nisan? That would be problematic, to say the least. What's the answer?
That is or is not a leap year.
It doesn't matter. It's the Hebrew date. It's the 23rd of Nisan. How can Pesach occur before, if the whole purpose of the leap year is to avoid Pesach in the winter? So if Tkufat Nisan is the 23rd of Nisan, how can Pesach be before Tkufat Nisan? By definition. What's the answer? The 19-year leap year cycle is not based on Tkufat Shmuel, it's based on Tkufat Rav Adar. Remember? Talamata and Birkas HaChama are based on Tkufat Shmuel. And the issue that I'm planning to address in my Shabbos HaGadol discussion, if I decide not to, then we'll find some other context in which to discuss it. But the plan is to discuss this question, which is how could Talumata and Birkas HaChama be based on Tkufat Shmuel and the calendar be based on Tkufat of Adar? They're a week apart. But the reality is that that's how it works. The 19-year leap year cycle is much more accurate than Tkufat Shmuel. The question is, did Shmuel know that it was inaccurate? There is a theory that Shmuel knew that it was inaccurate and he just rounded off the numbers to make life's calculations easier. Then, of course, there would be a question of Birkas HaChama. But this is the discrepancy. Birkas HaChama, follows Tkufat Shmuel, whereas the 19-year leap year cycle and all the holidays follows Tkufat Rav Adar. And therefore, they're completely different systems. And according to one, we could have Birkas HaChama on the 23rd of Nisan. Whereas according to the other, that would be a leap year. And it wouldn't have been a problem.
Yeah? How come that we only add in the
We do. There's a bracha that we say every year, and the trees, first fruits of the new trees blossom. It's called Birkata Ilan. You're supposed to say it every year when you see the new trees blossom in the springtime. The rain is a continual thing because Israel lives on rain. It's a sustenance issue. It's a survival issue. Everything else is a birchas shevach. So when the new season starts, you give a bracha of acknowledgement. In Shemoneh Esrei, it's not a bracha because how nice it is there's rain, let's give a bracha for the rain. You need rain to survive. You need water to live on. A completely different issue. It's as fundamental as the prayer for sustenance in Parnassah. Okay, we shall adjourn here, and Be'ezrat Hashem, we will do it again in 28 years. Well, maybe. And thank you, and to Jill for helping to sponsor this and to make this possible. And next Monday night is the pre-Pesach session.